Welcome back to Hoops HD, everybody. This is our NCAA Tournament Special Hoops HD Report. I'm your host, Chad Sherwood, joined by David Griggs and John Sleek up here, John Titel and Joby Fortson in the bottom row. And we've got a lot to discuss. The bracket is out. The first two or three parts of the season, however many there are done. And we've gotten to the real time for many people out there, the bracket, the filling out your brackets, seeing who wins, staying home Thursday and Friday to watch all the games. And what we're going to do tonight is we've got a lot to do. We want to discuss what the committee did. And then we are going to go ahead and fill out a bracket live on the show that David has guaranteed is going to be 100% correct.
Am I right? It will be 100% picked by Hoops HD.
Okay. And at the end of the show, we've got an exciting announcement of our own tournament here. But let's start.
The AC8, I mean, are we going to draw this out? Like the AC8, sort of like have a 3-hour special?
No, we're going to do it about 5 minutes at the end of the show, David.
There will be a special Kyle Lamb show tomorrow night to discuss the AC8.
We'll do a Kyle Lamb bracketology show on the AC8. But however, Let's get to the bracket itself. And Titel, you being our selection committee guessing expert, not quite your fifth place that you had last year, but you were very solid again, as I recall.
I do my best, Coach. I got 67 of the 68. Much like many, many people, I had TCU instead of Belmont. Like many, many people, I was wrong. I can still make a good argument for them, but obviously that ship has sailed. Decent amount of right on the money and decent amount of within one seed. I finished tied for 22nd out of 195 in the bracket matrix, and I'm certainly happy with the result.
Well, Joby, what do you think the greatest crime was and what the committee did, if there was any in your mind?
Greatest crime. I mean, we all know, people who watch this show know my rants on Utah State. Really, an 8 seed? This team, well, Rocco, what's funny is the biggest crime is that Washington, who is overrated, is playing Utah State, who is overrated. That is a crime because they should be losing to their respective 6-7 seeds instead of one of them actually getting to the round of 32.
David and I were both on the Ohio podcast with Kyle Lamb yesterday evening, and he asked us what games we're looking forward to. I actually responded the game that I'm least looking forward to is Washington-Utah State. I think it's going to be an awful game between two bad basketball teams, quite honestly. But, Salika, how about you? Is there anything else besides that? How about in terms of the selections? Arizona State and Temple, both a bit of a surprise, I think, along with Belmont.
When I was looking at the seed list that our group submitted, I think there were about probably half the people that were picking Belmont, half the people picking Arizona State, but it seemed like the only deviations big time were in the 8 through 10 seed lines, where I think we were expecting teams like Minnesota and Seton Hall to be up there. We certainly weren't expecting Utah State to be up at the 8 line, for example.
Yeah, David, I was a little surprised at the entire Big Ten seeding. Minnesota, Iowa also, I thought, were underseeded.
I thought so, too. I mean, not grossly underseeded, but maybe by a line or two. And you kind of wonder where that came from. A lot of the Big Ten wasn't that strong on the road, but they weren't pitiful either. And when you look at what Minnesota kind of did in the latter part of the season, particularly in the Big Ten tournament, you figured – They were boosting up their profile, so I was kind of surprised that they were still, them in particular, on the 10 line. I'm trying to think. I mean, the Michigan State, they were about where we thought. Purdue was pretty much where we thought. Indiana, we weren't really sure if they were getting in. In the end, we decided, at least I tilted that they probably weren't, so that wasn't that big of a surprise. I thought they certainly had a case, but it wasn't. I don't think it was outrageous that Indiana was left out.
I'm glad you mentioned the Iowa example, because clearly they were not given any breaks whatsoever for the Fran McCaffrey suspension for 2 games.
I didn't think they deserved any for that, quite honestly, myself. But Titel, the top 4 teams out, Greensboro, Indiana, TCU, Alabama, also NC State left out. I know that their school is very upset that they were left out with that 352 strength of schedule, non-conference strength of schedule. But, do you think there was any mistakes there in those four or five teams being left out?
No glaring mistakes. You can certainly make an argument for each based on their resume. I'm still a little surprised that Indiana didn't get more caucus because they beat Michigan State twice, which is a two seed and the Big Ten conference champion in both regular season and postseason. I know they lost a gazillion games, but like those are pretty good tier one top A wins, right?
I thought they were. But I guess on that note, what everyone really wants to know is who's going to win these games. Everyone wants to fill out the brackets, but why don't we, before we actually get to, well, let's do it this way. We'll go through all the games, but let's go ahead and pull up the bracket on the screen share here. It should just take me a second to pull it up.
Can people find a bracket if they need one, Chad?
And you can find, if you look up there on the website, there is a link for 2019 tournament. Click on it. This is a blow up of a portion of it because we're going to go region by region. I want everyone to be able to see closely. But this is the top half of the East region on the screen here. What I'm going to do is talk to two of you about each of these 14 pods.
And Chad, yes? Before we get started, I do want to say we're going to go game by game.
Yep.
But for all those who want to fill their bracket out, that's the dumbest way to fill out your bracket.
Okay.
The way you should fill out your bracket is backwards. Who's your champ? Who's your runner-up, and fill it out backwards. You don't want to wind up with weird results, you know. You want to go fill out backwards. That's what the best do.
You know, Joby, I get that. I've won fools myself, and I've always done it forward. So, you know, I think it's personal preference. But let's start in the East region in Columbia, South Carolina. Well, let's start, David, real quickly. North Carolina Central versus North Dakota State is one of the play-in games. Anything for people that are going to be watching that game? I think that's coming up either Tuesday or Wednesday night here.
I like North Dakota State a little better. NC Central, impressive in the MEAC tournament, but it was sort of the MEAC tournament. Neither of these teams are really outstanding. There's a reason they're on the 16 line. It would be interesting to see Duke and NC Central since they're neighbors. I think they're actually closer than 8 miles. But I don't know if they've ever met in the NCAA tournament or not. Probably not. NC Central hasn't been up all that long. So that would be kind of neat to see the two teams from Durham going at it. But I just think North Dakota State's a little better.
Right. Okay. Well, Stalika, let me start with you with your picks for these three games in Columbia. Duke versus either NC Central, who was the only sub-300 KenPom team in the field, and North Dakota State, and then more importantly, the VCU-UCF game.
Well, going to be picking a rock fight here. So whoever is going to be first to 50 is winning the VCU Central Florida game, and I'll probably give an edge to the Knights in this one, but Duke should advance to the Sweet 16 easily out of this pod right here.
All right. Tytel, do you agree with that? Duke over UCF to win this pod?
Yes, with the caveat that I got to interview BJ Taylor today of UCF, a super nice kid. He made it sound like the fact that they have these twin towers of Colin Smith and Taco Fall, like they can really punish people inside, his words. And obviously, like, I don't know if Zion's ever been punished in his life because he's usually bigger than everybody on the court. I think it will be a fascinating matchup to see Zion go against Taco if that's how it shapes out.
Yeah, I think that'd be a real fun game, but yeah. I do agree with Sleek also that Duke is going to win that. But Joby, the other region, you know, the 5-12 and 4-13 games, a lot more interesting here. Mississippi State against a Liberty team that's going to be very dangerous, and Vatek against the St. Louis Billikens, who came out strong and won the A-10 tournament.
Yeah, you know, well, Liberty is the pick. I mean, Seth Davis said it yesterday. Liberty is the hot pick. And to be truthful, the hot pick often wins. I mean, it's not – there's a reason why it's hot. I just have actually watched Liberty play, and I've watched Mississippi State play. I actually don't see it, but I totally get, and I don't disparage anyone going for the hot pick. I think Mississippi State's got too much for them, and Liberty will be worn out at the end of the day. On the other hand, you know, the Billikens are a much better team, but they – maybe the conference tournament has gelled them, but they were a much better team than a 13 earlier. They were my pick to actually make a run as an at-large. They didn't get there, but we'll see. I think Justin Robinson's return, and I think Virginia Tech has got too much for him. I'm going chalk, but these are two dangerous teams. And when you're filling out your bracket, if you need to make differentiators, pick one here.
So who would win that Mississippi State? Who would take
I'm going still chalk. I mean, Virginia Tech is – I'm going to – lay that their team – sometimes when a player comes back, it's not fully, you know, integrated in. But I think Robinson is so natural, and a lot of the ball will be flowing through him anyway. I think it will work out.
Hey, David, what are your thoughts on what Joby just did, taking chalk in this pot here out of San Jose?
I'm not going to say that I'd be shocked if Mississippi State won. I mean, far from it, but I'm actually going to go with Liberty, I think. They won two really tough games rather impressively, the two at Lipscomb, so they've shown that they can win tough games. Mississippi State, when you look at what they've done away from home, it isn't a lot, and you could argue that this game, Liberty is better than anyone Mississippi State's been able to beat away from home. That's kind of what jumps out at me. Like, you know, Mississippi State was 5-5 in true road games, but they beat St. Mary's on a neutral court by 4. While St. Mary's is good, they weren't necessarily playing as well then as they were at the end of the year. They did win at Ole Miss. That was pretty good, but this is a good Liberty team, and when you look at how tough it was to win those two games, I don't think Mississippi State quite has a win that tough yet. Or not that they're not capable of beating Liberty, but Liberty has.
So your pick is Liberty then?
Yeah.
Okay. And but you agree with Joby about Vatek on the bottom half there?
Yes. Okay. Vatek by about 30.
Okay. Stalika, we have a question here, so I'm going to ask you to make the tiebreaker vote between Liberty and Mississippi State in the top there.
I'm starting to wonder about, besides Cincinnati, just how many other wins of significance Mississippi State has compared to where they're seated. I think this is the classic 5-12 trap game that Liberty should be able to win.
All right, then Liberty it is by Stalika calling the tiebreaker vote. Titel, let's move scroll on down here to the Jacksonville pod in the East region. And first, let me ask you about this Belmont-Temple game, a fascinating play-in game here.
It is. Most people would assume that since Belmont was arguably the last team in, that maybe they're going to be the first team out.
They weren't the last team in. They were actually arguably the top four. Yeah.
So, obviously, they're a good team, and you can make a good argument for why they're in. Temple was, I think, holding their breath, which is evident in the fact that they got an 11 seed. Should be a good game. I'll give the edge to Belmont, which kills me because you know I love me some Fran Dunphy. But it's funny, as many wins as Dunphy has, I think Rick Burt has him by like 300 wins or something.
And what about moving on then against Maryland?
So I think that there are going to be a gazillion Terps fans waiting for them to come to D.C., so I'm going to go with Maryland, but I would not at all be shocked because the 6-11 upset is a common one. But I will go with the Terps.
Terps, and in the LSU-Yale game on the bottom there.
I do love me some Ivy League, but unless Will Wade takes 5 players with him on his suspension, I think that the Bayou Bengals should be A-OK.
But do you have Maryland moving on to D.C. then?
Can you tell me in your crystal ball if Will Wade will be coaching that game? Because I think that might be the determining factor.
I don't think he will be.
I'll go with Maryland. If he is, I'll go with LSU.
All right. So Maryland's your pick then? If we got to do one right now?
Lock it in.
Okay. Well, I'm going to tell you, I'm going to be your opponent on this one. And I do agree with you on the Maryland pick, but I don't trust this LSU team. I just don't trust them. And I want to go with this Yale pick and pull the 14-3 upset. So that's where I'm going to disagree with you. I do like Maryland, probably over Temple, but instead of Belmont. But Joby, let me let you be the tiebreaker vote on that LSU-Yale game then.
I think it will be – I'm not as high on Yale as I think a lot of people are.
Okay.
It's the other game where I would be contrarian.
Okay.
And I think that the UCLA Bruins – are not in the tournament, but there will be a Bruin in the Sweet 16.
Oh, wow. Okay. All right. So we'll leave this as LSU, Maryland, though, because that was the majority pick among the three that here. But Joby, let me stick with you for the Des Moines section here of we got Louisville, Minnesota, and Michigan State, Bradley.
All right. Now, Louisville is underseeded. I truly believe that. Not saying – I can see where the committee came up with a 7, but Louisville's better than a 7 seed. They are – legit. They're real. They push people to the limit. They just ran across a very tough part of the ACC schedule, playing Virginia twice, playing North Carolina. That's why they went on like a spell, is because they're playing really good games and playing them tight in many cases. We all know about the Duke-Louisville game, for instance, that was nationally televised. Louisville's good. Sparty, I don't see Izzo slipping it. This is not the Brad typical Missouri Valley team. There's a reason why they're 15 and not 13. I think Michigan State does it. And then I've got, oh, darn it. My goodness, Louisville, Michigan State, and I look up at Maryland, LSU, and I go, why can't one of those teams play in the other two teams? You know, because I truly would pick Louisville or Michigan State over either Maryland or LSU. It is so tough to go against Izzo in the tournament. It really is. And if it – I might pick Louisville against a lot of two seeds, but that's not the one. I think Sparty does it.
You think Sparty does it. Well, Sleeka, let me get your – let me get your opinion there. Do you agree with Joby on Louisville, Michigan State, with Michigan State winning the pod?
I agree with Michigan State winning the pod, but I do not agree with Louisville moving out of round one. I believe the only tournament – I believe the only team they've actually beaten in the past few weeks was actually Notre Dame, and then you have to consider Minnesota had also beaten Purdue recently in the Big Ten tournament. The Gophers have been kind of hot and cold, but – I actually trust them to pull off a mild surprise here and beat the Cardinals.
David, you want to cast the tiebreaker vote on that Louisville-Minnesota game?
I should pick Louisville, but I am just so intrigued by the theater of this game with Richard Pitino coaching Mini. And I'm really hoping Rick Pitino is there. I hope he has a credential. He's on the Minnesota guest list. I hope he's on the Jumbotron. I hope he's applauding when Minnie is beating Louisville. And I am going with my heart and not my head. And I don't really have anything against Louisville. In fact, I really respect what they've done this year and have defended him. But it would just I need to go buy more popcorn if Minnesota wins this game. And that's what I'm kind of hoping for. So I'm going to go with Mini, even though it's not the sensible pick. And,
So your tiebreaker vote is for Minnesota. And, why don't we just zoom out a little bit here and take a look at the East region now that we've got this Duke, Vatek, Maryland, Michigan State. Joby, three ACC teams, right? You almost had four with Louisville. Tytel. Duke, Vatek, Maryland, Michigan State. If this is the East Regional, what do you see happening in these three games?
I see myself having quite a great little weekend attending. Virginia Tech did beat Duke recently. Zion was not there. If Zion is there, I think he will win, so you can advance them. As far as the Terps and Michigan State, as I said, I think Maryland is going to have a ton of fans in the house because it is literally a subway ride away from College Park. However, they did play Michigan State in January and lost. So, therefore, Sparty.
You're not going to give us that Duke-Maryland game that we've been dying for years, huh?
I was at the one in 2001 in the NCAA tournament where Maryland was up like 22 in the second half and blew it. So I'm all for a repeat of that, as Arizona was in the title game that year as well, but I don't think this is the year.
Who makes the Final Four?
The Dukies will be cutting down the nets in Washington, D.C.
All right. Joby, you want to respond to that? Do you agree with Duke?
This is my shock moment. I've been chalky on my responses. Maryland will have a ton of fans in the East region. What team do they hate more than any other? Just saying.
Georgetown.
No, it's not Georgetown. It is the Blue Devils. Virginia Tech will have a ton of fans there. If you think Duke will have a ton of fans there, you don't know you don't know Duke fans. It's not the Meadowlands, it's DC. Virginia Tech knows how to win. Duke's freshmen can be inconsistent at times. Virginia Tech will have no fear in this game. This is the shock. Virginia Tech to upset Duke in this game. And then Sparty, after the highs of Virginia Tech winning, Sparty and Izzo go to yet another Final Four.
Well, we need a tiebreaker vote here, obviously. David, why don't you tell me, Duke Va Tech, is Joby right that we get the upset, or is Tytel right that the Duke wins it?
Tytel is correct.
And Duke in the Final Four also?
Yeah, I have them in the Final Four. I actually don't if it comes down to Michigan State, Maryland, oh my God, I'm going to be rooting so hard for Maryland because we need Duke and Maryland. Yeah. I actually think if Belmont gets past Temple, and I don't know what their health is. Do any word on their center? His name escapes me, but I know he averaged 15 Nick points.
Oh, you're thinking of Nick Mazinski,
yeah, Mazinski,
their freshman star.
Yeah, thank you. Is he is he back, their center? He's been – anyway, if they have him, I could see them actually knocking out Maryland.
Okay. Well, let's roll on down to the West region here. Let's start in the games in Salt Lake City. And, Stalika, let me start with you. Well, first of all, Fairleigh Dickinson versus Prairie View. Anything you want to talk about that game?
I think for this one, Prairie View may actually win the playing game right here. They did actually pull off the double for the SWAC, and I thought they might get above the first four, but not meant to be.
No, they should have been above the first four. They should
and,
not.
And how about then Prairie View, Gonzaga, and Syracuse Baylor?
It was a huge miscarriage of justice. The committee.
David, it's a 16 seed. Calm down. They actually have a shot to win a game, and they probably prefer it. Salika, Gonzaga and the Syracuse Baylor game.
If this were mid-February, I probably would be picking Baylor to win it, but they did seem to fall off the table a little bit towards the end of the year. I think Syracuse is probably going to win the first round game, but I think given that they had already beaten Gonzaga in recent years, it should be in the back of the Zags' mind. So I think Gonzaga is going to get some revenge here and move on to the Sweet 16.
I'm gonna be the opponent for you in this, and I'm actually not going to push. I agree with you 100% on what's going to happen in this region. So let's move on to the Hartford games. David, let you speak about the Hartford games here. Marquette versus Murray State and Florida State versus Vermont.
Yeah, this Marquette-Murray State game is fascinating because of Murray State's athleticism. I don't know if Marquette's played many teams that play quite the way Murray State does. I mean, when you look at Villanova, what they have this year, they didn't exactly push the tempo. So that and plus Marquette has been kind of backpedaling lately. That being said, I do think Marquette will win the game because I think they'll be able to control the tempo. And sometimes when you do that against Murray State, as we saw against OVC caliber teams, they struggle. Marquette, not an OVC caliber team. They're much, much higher. And I think Florida State rolls Vermont. I like this Vermont team. I'm impressed with what they did this year. After losing, I want to say, four starters from a really good team the previous year, but they are just overmatched against a Florida State team that is on fire right
kind
now.
Kind of, not that far from Vermont to Hartford, so they may have some fans there. But do you have a pipe pick between Marquette and Florida State to come out?
Florida State.
Okay. Tytel, you agree with him?
Sort of. I really think that ordinarily Marcus Howard would be the best player in any tournament game he's in. Unfortunately, this one he will not be the best player. And Morant seems to be getting better as the season goes on, despite the fact that the pressure is rising. And now if he's going to go to the draft, this is the time when he needs to prove. It's one thing to beat up on the OVC. It's quite another to beat up on one of the best teams in the Big East. So I think Murray in the 12-5 upset.
All right, so you're going with the 12-5 upset. I guess we need a tiebreaker here. Joby, do you have a tiebreaker? Murray, Marquette, you want to?
Well, I find this being a very valuable for all you pickers out there. Vegas often is pretty accurate, especially in a ratio-type game. And maybe it's a Ja Morant thing. But, we're on the Liberty, and a lot of talking heads are on Liberty. That's still a 7.5-point game in Vegas. Murray State's gotten that thing down to 4. There's a lot of smart money that's betting on Murray State. And maybe, like I said, maybe it's all the attention that's bringing Ja Morant. But the fact of the matter is that 4 points is really tight. And the momentum that people mentioned earlier, I don't know if Marquette can control the tempo against Murray State. They've had trouble controlling the tempo in the Big East because David's right. David is right. I'm going to say Murray State can actually do it, though. and then get just.
I said Marquette. I picked Marquette, Joby. Am I right or wrong?
It's Tytel that picked Marquette.
Yeah. Okay.
No, but I think you're right about the tempo being a key for Murray State.
Oh, I got you.
I think that is very true, but I don't think Marquette's the team to do it. I do think Florida State is the team to do it. And I think Florida State will actually, after Murray State pulls the upset, I think Florida State's bigs and the size and length, as long as they can hit the broadside of a barn, they're going to get a zillion offensive rebounds. Florida State will dominate Murray State, I think, in that game. Okay. It won't be pretty.
Let's move on to the bottom half of the West region and Tytel, the games in Tulsa. Let's start Arizona State, St. John's. I know you want to talk a little ASU.
The Bobby Hurley's former team against the Bobby Hurley current team. First of all, he does have to get by St. John's, which is no easy task. Funny thing, as a college basketball fan, to see Bobby Hurley and Chris Mullen, I wish I could have seen them on the court rather than on the sideline face off. The fact that it's in the middle of the country means they both have the same travel time. And the fact that ASU turned down my request for an interview earlier today because they have to travel means I'm going to pick the Johnnies to beat them. And Buffalo is so good, as I learned the very hard way last March, I think I have Buffalo making it to the round of 32.
And how about the other half here, Texas Tech, NKU? Do you see an NKU upset?
I don't. I asked on the Big 12 call today, I got to ask Chris Beard what he thought about the fact that he lost to West Virginia. I said, are you the kind of coach where – it's a good thing because it refocuses the team or a bad thing because it takes all your momentum away? And he said neither. It just kind of is something that it was a bad loss, but West Virginia was playing good. But I think he will rally the troops, so I think he'll beat the Norse. And then between the two, a lot of people love Buffalo, and they've proven they can win, and they have a bunch of seniors, and they've beaten some good teams this year, including that West Virginia team that beat Texas Tech. I'm bullish on the Bulls.
You're bullish on the Bulls. I'll tell you what. I'm gonna go against you here. I do agree with you on the Buffalo pick. I agree with you on the Texas Tech over NKU pick. But I like this Texas Tech team a lot. I think the West Virginia game was an aberration. I think they're going to come out strong, and I do have them in the Sweet 16, and maybe even going further than that, as we'll see in a few minutes here. But I'm going to go Texas Tech, which means I'm going to need a tiebreaker vote from Mr. Stolica.
Yeah, I would hope as far as Texas Tech, they don't wind up in a dogfight with the Red Raiders, because Drew McDonald is very dangerous should it get to that point. But if we're talking about Buffalo and Texas Tech, I do think the Bulls can actually pull the surprise and go to the Sweet 16 here.
You guys are ruining our staff bracket. You really are.
Can I comment for 20 seconds? That is, I would pick Texas Tech to win that game, but it is very tempting to pick Buffalo because they have beaten a lot of teams that play like Texas Tech, just none that are as good as Texas Tech.
Right. I agree 100%.
Yeah.
Exactly right.
Yeah, but it is tempting to pick Buffalo in that one. I'm 52-48 Texas Tech. I'm certainly not all in.
You're wrong, but
I'm agreeing with you. You picked Texas Tech.
David. In all seriousness, the Des Moines games, Nevada, Florida, Michigan, Montana, in the rematch of last year, which was pretty much just a screw up by the committee. They weren't supposed to have rematched the two teams, but they did.
Right. I think Montana makes a really good showing of themselves and loses not in a blowout, but not in a close game either. Mm-hmm. And this Nevada-Florida game is interesting because Florida playing well in the SEC tournament, they had the controversial loss to Auburn, had the really big win in the opening round again. Who'd they beat? It was so big I don't even remember who Florida. It was. Yeah.
It beat LSU.
Yeah, LSU, yes.
For the second time in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, for the second time in a couple of weeks. But in Nevada has been sort of hot and cold. They haven't really played many teams as good as Florida. So it's tempting to pick them to lose, but I'm going to pick them to win anyway. And then I got Michigan just going past them in the second round.
Michigan past Nevada.
Yeah, in a non-blowout but non-close game.
Yeah. Joby, your thoughts?
I would
I've got a little music going here. Okay. All right, we definitely sound good. Yeah. Right. Michigan, Nevada, Buffalo, Michigan.
I've got Florida I do have, in all seriousness aside, with my hatred towards all things Mountain West right now, I actually do think the Gators are going to win. They are much better than the 10 seed. It is actually a shame that a 7 seed Nevada has to play them. I mean, the guy got fouled 10 times. They should have been playing. They should have won the game. And they beat a much higher deal. I mean, Michigan's going to win against the winner of that game no matter what. But as a mild upset, I do like the Gators.
Tytel, you want to cast a tiebreaker vote in that Nevada-Florida game?
Yeah. One team has beaten LSU twice in the past month. One has not beaten a tourney team in 2 months.
Florida. Okay. Then okay. I guess it's Nevada.
And they haven't beaten a team that has been seeded in the field and not playing in Dayton.
Not to mention the same team also lost to San Diego State twice.
You know what? I'm changing my vote. I'm taking Florida.
Well, we've already gone with Florida, David. And
well, no, I changed my vote.
Stalika, we're going to – David, we're moving on.
I changed it.
David, we're moving on. Stalika, the West Regional, three games here. Gonzaga, Florida State in one, and Buffalo, Michigan in the other. Who do you have meeting in the Elite Eight, and who do you have going to the Final Four?
Well, Gonzaga's already had one revenge game against Syracuse, and they actually have another against Florida State. Keep in mind the Noles won last year without Killian Tilly in the Gonzaga lineup, so I do think they're going to avenge that game this year. Michigan, I think they're going to be probably the toughest out here, and I'm going to say the Wolverines move on to Minneapolis.
Ooh,
right. David, do you agree with that?
I got Gonzaga beating Michigan. Honestly, I think Florida State will beat Michigan if they get by Gonzaga.
Well, Tytel, Gonzaga or Michigan?
I think I'm not always the biggest fan of geography. If this game was in the Midwest, I would say Michigan's a no-brainer. I really think that Gonzaga is going to have a ton of fan support in Anaheim, so I'm going to zag.
We're going to go zags in our Final Four. And let's move on to the other half of the bracket here now. Ooh, just over-scrolled that. There we go. That's a little bit better. Let's start in the Midwest region. Oh, heck, no. Let's start in the South region. We'll work our way down here. I don't know where we're going. Joby, I'm going to start with you on the
– Why? Why do we get Gardner-Webb?
Virginia Gardner-Webb. Does it happen again? Virginia lose again?
I'm just going to say this. This bracket is the best bracket Virginia could wish for, except for maybe the first game. Can lightning hit twice again? Oh, God. No. It shouldn't hit. I mean, they did, but the thing is, Gardner Webb beat Georgia Tech. They beat Wake. Now, those are teams Virginia also, you know, steamrolled.
Virginia also beat those teams.
But the fact is, I don't think Gardner Webb's going to come in intimidated, given UMBC pass, given that it's got it, but Bennett's not going to look past it. Virginia should win that, but there'll be a lot of talk until they do.
Who are they going to play?
They'll play the SEC Coach of the Year. In my opinion, I'm not high on Oklahoma heading into this tournament right now. I think Ole Miss is a better team, plain and simple, as it were.
And Virginia makes.
I'm going to be very honest. I am next to the Washington Utah State 8-9. The knock on wood. I actually as a Virginia person. It's not a Big Ten school. It's going to be someone who's going to be very confused. Either Oklahoma or Ole Miss will have a tough time with Virginia's defense because they will have never seen anything like it. That is a good matchup for Virginia. Okay. Virginia should move okay. on.
Yeah, David, I'll get to you 1 second, but first I got to ask Tytel about this. I know you had a chance to speak with the Gardner-Webb head coach today. So, you know, can Gardner-Webb pull that Virginia upset?
No, but I didn't think UMBC could. So, I mean, I don't know how meaningful that is. Tim Kraft, super nice guy, Christian school, so I hope that Joby's praying as hard as they are. I wouldn't be too worried about it, though, Joby. I think you guys will be fine, and I agree that once you get past the first round and can get the stigma and the ghosts exercised, that it should be smooth sailing.
David, you had a comment on this?
Well, yeah, and I've mentioned this before, but I've never gotten to say it with Joby on the show. Virginia trying to make history. Nobody has ever lost to a 16 seed and then won a game in the tournament the following year. Oh, come on. That was funny. It was funny. Come on.
Stalika, San Jose, we have Wisconsin, Oregon, and K-State versus Irvine. Where are you going?
I definitely see at least a one upset special right here, and that's going to be a suddenly red-hot Oregon team getting past Wisconsin. I think UC Irvine, that's going to be another tempting one to pick, but by the same token, it is in the same state, but it's still going to be quite a bit of a road trip for Anteater fans. I think Kansas State is actually going to end up making a repeat appearance to the Sweet 16 this year.
Well, Sleeka, I'm taking this bracket against you here, and I disagree with you partially. I agree on the Oregon or Wisconsin upset. I'm calling the 12-13 second round game with Oregon in the Sweet
16. I am too. I'm going with the Ducks and the Eaters.
And David, I'll let you last cast the tiebreaker vote then.
I'm going with the Eaters. I like what K-State has done this year. They've won some big games away from home. It certainly wouldn't be shocking if they beat them, but I just don't know. They just seem to me like the kind of team that isn't going to be mentally braced for how good Irvine actually is, and they may overlook them a little bit. And UC Irvine blew through the Big West, only losing one game. I know that their predictive rankings aren't very good. Joby's a lot bigger on those than I am, and that is something to note. But they've won games, and they've won a lot of games against some pretty decent teams, and I just like them. And I like Oregon all the way to the Sweet 16.
Well, that's where we're going then.
One little Vegas note on it. Or the Oregon-Wisconsin game's a pick 'em. I mean,
I really like Oregon.
I mean, that Oregon should be really well liked compared to the 7-point Liberty spread. And then it's only 5 between Irvine and K-State. And remember, K-State's dealing with not a full roster right now. Right.
Say what you will about the Conference of Champions being bad this year, but Oregon was the one team that really did improve from January to March.
They did.
Agreed. Tell.
Tell. Yeah. Hartford, we've got the defending national champions against St. Mary's and Purdue against Old Dominion.
Another geography play here. If St. Mary's is playing this game in Anaheim, I think I would give them the pick. The fact that Villanova got hot at the right time this season after stumbling February by pick and butt in March in the conference tournament, they are the pick, the defending champs. I like ODU, but I don't like them to beat Purdue. If Carson Edwards keeps shooting – 1 of 10 from three-point land, perhaps. I just think it's a little too much.
Well, now, Tytel, so the question here is, Villanova historically, if they get past the second round, wins the national championship. Do they get past the second round?
Am I a fan of history? You tell me.
Well, so where are you going?
Am I a fan of history?
You going Purdue?
No, I'm going Villanova.
You're going Villanova.
Oh, man.
All right. Okay, so Joby, do you agree with him? Villanova over Purdue?
Villanova's more schizo than people realize. They have the potential to do this. I think they cruise past St. Mary's, and that might just do it. Hartford, I'm going Villanova.
Villanova
over. I can't believe I'm doing it, but I think that streak.
Wow. Okay. I think you all are mentally ill.
Okay. Well, we're going to have to hang out to Columbus. We've got Cincinnati versus Iowa and Tennessee versus Colgate. Iowa had some amazing, amazing games at a stretch there where Jordan Bohannon won, I think, every single game. Well, he didn't win the Rutgers game, but he won a couple games with buzzer beaters. Cincinnati, a great history of playing great and then collapsing in games in the NCAA tournament. I think that we're going to see a typical Cincinnati year this year. I'm going to take this bracket first. I'm going to take Cincinnati and Tennessee. Cincinnati to be up about 20 on Tennessee and lose the game, and Tennessee go on to the Sweet 16. David, do I have that right?
I agree with everything except the being up 20 on Tennessee.
Okay, maybe 10.
Yeah, okay.
So we're going to go Cincinnati, we're going to go Tennessee, Nova, and let's kind of scroll back out here. And Stalika, we got the South Region Finals here in Louisville. Virginia versus Oregon, Villanova versus Tennessee. Who would you pick to the next two rounds?
Oops, let me clear my screen here. I would definitely take Virginia to take out Oregon in this matchup right here. Villanova, once they do get into the Sweet 16, they're usually money. But this year they haven't played quite as well against the cream of the crop, so I would take Tennessee to advance to the Elite Eight under Rick Barnes.
And the Final Four pick is?
Final Four pick?
That's a tough
one. I'm actually going to take a slightly more experienced Tennessee team to advance to Minneapolis here.
Well, Joby, do you agree with him? Virginia, Tennessee or Virginia?
No, I actually like Virginia in this game for the mere fact that this is a team, if they get past that point, they're going to be on a roll. And I'm always a big believer of, not so because fans are there, but because of locations, the Virginia plays extremely well in this venue. They walk into Louisville and win a lot. This year's game is perfect for Virginia. They were down 10 to Louisville at half, with Louisville hitting everything, including a half-court shot. And Virginia came out, didn't panic. They just took care of business and went on to win the game by a sizable margin, holding. I think the second half totals were like 40-15, was something like that. If Virginia finds themselves down, they will not speed up in this venue. They will have confidence. That sort of confidence is essential for Virginia, because the way you beat them at this stage is what Syracuse did, which is getting Virginia down and out of their rhythm. I don't think that they will be out of rhythm against this Tennessee team, Virginia.
Tytel, would you like to cast a tiebreaker on Virginia, Tennessee?
I would not, because I don't know how it's going to go out. I'm going to, as a historian, I don't recall Tennessee ever making a Final Four, and I don't think this is the year.
Especially
like Joby said, once Virginia gets rolling, their offense and defense are as good as anyone in the country. So let's hoo it up.
All right. David, let me go to you here as well. Zoom back in here and go to Columbus in the where are we? I guess this is the whatever region is left. North Carolina versus Iona and Utah State versus Washington in the Midwest region games in Columbus.
Yeah, not a lot to say here because I think North Carolina rolls Iona. I do want to give a shout out to Iona for winning the Metro Atlantic, for doing the double. While they've had good teams, I don't think they've ever done the double under Tim Clouse. And, much improved throughout the year, especially after things got off to such a salty start due to an off-the-court incident back in October. But, I mean, all sentiments aside, they're not beating North Carolina. And North Carolina will beat whoever wins the next game. And I don't really think I have a pick, but I'll go with Utah State.
All right. Slika, do you agree with that?
That game between Utah State and Washington is probably going to be sleep-inducing, but
I think it's going to be exciting, not well-played, but exciting.
But I think with Utah State trending up, Washington trending down, I will have to go with the Aggies in that one.
All right, we'll go with the consensus pick there. Now heading on to Salt Lake, where Auburn is playing New Mexico State and Kansas is playing Northeastern. I'm going to take this region. I know that New Mexico State might be a trendy pick because people love these 5-12 upsets. This is where I'm going 5-seed, though. This Auburn team is playing so well, what they did winning the SEC tournament, even heading into it. I've got them not only winning that game, but then advancing to the Sweet 16 after they knock out Northeastern, who beats up on Kansas.
Can New Mexico State defer to the 13 line and play Kansas to Auburn?
Joby, what do you think of my picks?
I actually like them. Okay. And David hit it on the head. New Mexico State would rather be playing in that 4-13 than that 5-12. I agree 100%. I'm not a believer in Kansas. I think that we're going to start seeing the mess swirling around, the Bill Self stuff. It already is coming in, and this is not the same Kansas team. As we all know, post Azubuike, they've lost a couple of folks. Northeastern has beaten Alabama. They can beat a big boy. They have the confidence to do it. I actually like Northeastern here as well.
I do too.
Tytel, in Tulsa, we've got a fascinating Iowa State, Ohio State game, and also a Houston, Georgia State game.
I think that the Cyclones are going to keep it spinning and take care of the Buckeyes, unless a couple more Wessons graduate high school and join the team in time for this game. As far as Houston, Georgia State, I know that Houston, I really am so proud of them. Like, when they lost Rob Gray last year, who was this close from beating Michigan, who was in the title game, like, when he left school after his senior year, I assumed that they were going to have a down year, and they proved me dead wrong. So, book it for Houston, and then it's going to be a great game between Prom versus Samson, and I think that we'll throw Joby a little love and give Mariel Shayok a chance to make it to the
Sweet 16.
I agree 100% with all those picks.
So we're going to Iowa State.
That is your Mariel Shayok place for you.
David, I was asking David, though. You agree with those picks.
I'm sorry, I wasn't listening. I just assumed he was picking Houston.
Okay, and I'm sure Tytel is also going to bring up, it is going to be a homecoming of sorts for half the Houston coaching staff, thanks to, who is it, Quanis White and Hollis Price?
Yeah.
Right. So, David, David, you would go Houston, which means we need a tiebreaker vote.
I just think that their athleticism, and Houston can beat all kinds of teams. They can be, I mean, if you look at Cincinnati, who's more of a grinded out team, they can beat them. They can run with teams. This is a team that beat LSU. And I realize that they haven't played as many good teams as Iowa State has, but I've seen enough to think that they'll beat Iowa State.
Well, David, I'm going to be the tiebreaker vote, and I hate doing it, but I'm going to side with you here. I love the way this Houston team is playing. Iowa State, I know they won the Big 12 tournament, but they've done that 4 out of the last 6 years or something. They just always win the Big 12 tournament. And I think they may be the team that go back to being the team that they were heading into the Big 12 tournament, which was not that good. I'm not certain they could buy Ohio State, but let's go down here. Salika, the final first and second round site in Jacksonville, Wofford, Seton Hall, and Kentucky versus Abilene Christian.
Yeah, we're going to have cats and dogs living together in the second round right here, but as trendy a pick as Wofford probably is, they've beaten, everyone in the SoCon, but not really any of the big boys outside of South Carolina in the non-conference. And Kentucky, quite a different animal compared to South Carolina. So I'm going to go UK to advance to the Sweet 16 out of this pod.
Who do you have winning, Wofford, Seton Hall?
That would be Wofford.
All right. Joby, you agree with this?
I agree with the Wofford beating Hall. I don't see Abilene Christian in there. Congratulations, boys, on your first appearance. It will be short.
Okay.
But
fine.
But
Wofford is the type of team that beats Kentucky, and they very much are. I could see Kentucky's young kids not taking him seriously, sleepwalking, and Wofford pulling the upset.
Wow. Wofford, a really good outside shooting team. They are a little different from the types of teams Kentucky has typically played against. But I still just think Kentucky's too much.
Now, it is worth noting, last year when Kentucky played Davidson, I think the Wildcats had hit like 9 threes in that game, where Kentucky didn't hit one themselves, but they still found a way to win that one in Boise.
Well, David, you want to? Is it Wofford or is it Kentucky?
Oh no, it's Kentucky. I was throwing Joby a bone by saying I do think that there's a path to which Wofford could win, but this is a really, really good Wofford team, and you can't help but think that if they were an 11 or something, they might actually have an easier path to the Sweet 16. But they're just not. I don't see them taking down Kentucky.
Well, Mr. Tytel, a fairly almost perfect chalk Midwest regional we've came up with, North Carolina, Auburn, Houston, Kentucky. Who's the Elite Eight? Who's the Final Four pick?
I think we got to keep going with some chalk by getting the 1 seed and the 2 seed in there. Obviously, when you win the American and the SEC respectively, you deserve to be this far and have a good shot. I just think that there's too much firepower both on the sideline and from the McDonald's All-Americans, just the pure talent. And the fact that, if Houston was playing him in Texas, maybe, but I don't think Kansas City will be the extent. And then comes, I think, one of the toughest games to pick, in my opinion, that we've had so far. Carolina, Kentucky, obviously, any 1-2 game is a coin toss in some regard. Very hard pick. I think I'm going to go with Kentucky because this is not the stereotypical Kentucky team where it's only freshmen. When you have sophomores like P.J. Washington and grad students like Reed Travis, who I think is healthy, I think that's going to put them over the edge. Not that Luke May is a youngin' or anything, and not that Kobe White isn't sensational. I just think that maybe it's going to be the combination of youth and experience for the Wildcats.
Salika, you agree with us?
I would probably have, North Carolina actually getting to the Final Four right here, but I would concur that North Carolina and Kentucky do meet in the Elite Eight.
Joby, a tiebreaker.
Oh, I hate it. And the reason why is because we've given our viewers nothing by saying chalk in the Final Four, which will not happen. I think North Carolina, if we really do have a North Carolina-Kentucky game, I like Carolina because, you know, it's not just Luke May. And Tytel hit it. I like that young, you know, that young and old mix that can happen. It's not just Luke May. It's Cam Johnson. It's Williams. They've got – they are playing out of their minds. Duke and Carolina played at a really high level in that championship game. And Carolina lost by one.
So you would go Carolina?
Carolina. Yeah, whereas Tennessee and Kentucky played at a very high level too. But Tennessee was clearly better. Yeah, you know.
You had an interesting point about all the chalk. Well, this year's chalk is a little chalkier than previous year's chalk. We've made this point before. When you look at the one seeds and just the high level of basketball that they've played all year and the high level of competition, even by one seed standards, we've got not one but three that have just played. I mean, it's almost I compare it to like the UConn women's team that have just played like seemingly a third of their games or more against ranked teams, and they've played more games against top 10 teams than what we're used to seeing teams play. So if there's ever going to be a year where the chalk holds, it's this year.
Well, let's go to their Final Four picks, and I'm going to run through each of us here for what we would do with this Final Four. It is, as we mentioned, all one seeds. But personally, David, they've never met in the NCAA tournament. I think this is the year it happens. I've got Duke over North Carolina in the championship, given this bracket.
Interesting. They've never met in the NCAA tournament, and I also think this is the year it happens. I've got Duke over Virginia in the championship.
Okay. David, you've got Duke over Virginia.
They've never met in the tournament.
Tytel, what do you have, given this Final Four?
I have Joby's wise reasoning that it's not going to be all four number one seeds, even though they're all fantastic. I think Duke should make it just because I'm not a believer in Gonzaga, especially after the loss to St. Mary's where they were handled. As far as the other one, I'll defer to our ACC expert, but the fact that Virginia went into Carolina and beat them, let's keep booing it up.
You'd go Duke over Virginia in the championship?
I would.
Okay. Salika?
If I had to pick two teams out of this bracket, it probably would be Duke and North Carolina. And if we're talking about some other historical nuggets, Duke's five national titles have only come in two cities. One is in Indianapolis, where they've won three national titles, and the other one is Minneapolis, where they won in 1992 and 2001. Yeah, and I think this will be title number six for the Blue Devils.
Joby, given this bracket, where would you go?
All right, well, Duke – I think we'll be ready to kick Gonzaga's ass as much as I like Gonzaga.
This was unanimous.
They have heard all year, Gonzaga's the only team to beat them when they're fully healthy. I think Duke will be up and ready to go.
Virginia, that was a critical error by Gonzaga winning that game.
It also is the only reason they're one seed, as Chad will point out. Virginia just matches up really well with Carolina. It's just Virginia – Bennett has beaten – has beaten Carolina more than more times than I think Virginia did before Bennett arrived, and that includes Samson era. It's just a matchup thing. Now, we get to the finals. I'd love to pick with my heart because I can give reasons for every game. The reasons why Duke won each game that are anomalies unto themselves. Kyle Guy won't go in 1-for-13. Give me a break. And you lose by two in Durham. Duke hitting out of their gourd the hottest shooting night of the year when they went to Charlottesville.
But
this is the national title. I love John's reasoning. Stalika's. I think Duke will probably win a third game. But, boy, wouldn't it be sweet for Virginia to win in that fashion.
Well, quick, for people that have to have a tiebreaker, Tytel, what would you think this final score would be here in the Duke-Virginia game if Duke wins it?
As I was born in 74, I always think the winner's going to have 74, and I know that's a little low for a Duke team, but obviously if they play Virginia, that should be right around right. And they're usually single-digit games, so if you want to call it 66, just to throw a number out there.
All right, so there we go. We now have the bracket. And, David, this is the actual real bracket. This is how things will play out. Duke is beating Virginia 74-66 in the national championship game. What I will actually do is go ahead and post this on the post here below our podcast for those of you that want to copy it down so you can win your brackets. Mm-hmm. But on that note, I guess we have one other order of business we need to get to before we get to our final thoughts. Everyone's been waiting for it anxiously. David, can you tell everybody what we do here at Hoops HD?
Well, this is the AC8, known as the Atlantic City 8. It is not played in Atlantic City, and it does not have 8 teams. It was inspired by the Vegas 16, which only lasted 1 year and only had 8 teams because they could not find a full 16 to play in the tournament. We've had issues with this tournament in the past.
You can go up there on the website and see go on the AC8 link. The first year we did it, we tried to do it on a lake and the boat sank, and that was a failure.
That was a really bad idea.
The second year we tried to do it, the boat stayed up, but we had a free problem with a free chili giveaway, and there was
none
a riot
of the teams showed up.
Well, that too. This year, David, you reached out during championship week to Ja Rule, and I believe that you were able to secure our venue for us. And here it is, Pablo Escobar's private island in the Bahamas.
Yes. Well, we haven't secured it yet. Well, yeah, like we're still working on it. But
So let's go ahead and reveal.
Don't let that stop you from buying tickets.
Let's go ahead and reveal the field. And our team of the people this year, we have a first round bye all the way into the championship game. Their season is not over. Their time as a D1 team is not over. Yes, the Savannah State Tigers the bye into the championship game. So congratulations
to them. Interesting bracket you've composed here, Chad.
Well, we've got 9-team bracket, and we'll get to that bonus game down there in a minute also. But we got 4 regions here now for the other teams because we have to have regions because it's going to play. But instead of east, west, southeast, whatever, our first region is the My APR is Better Than Yours region.
Oh, okay. This is the APR, the Academic Progress Rating.
Yes, and it is between Alabama A&M, who was on the APR ban list this year, and Florida A&M, who also was. These teams did not get to compete for NCAA tournament spots. They do get to go to the AC8 tournament because we don't care about the NCAA rules.
That's interesting. That's going to be on Pablo Escobar's island, Alabama A&M, Florida A&M.
Yeah, okay. Book also out there, our second region is the My Curtain is Better Than Yours region.
Oh, yes. Is there going to be a curtain at this year?
Well, it's between the team that's made the Curtain of Distraction famous, Arizona State. Forget that NCAA tournament. They are going to the AC8.
Yeah.
And they are going up against, well, let's see here. Yes, the entire Conference USA tournament.
All right.
Yes. The all-tournament team.
The whole tournament.
The whole tournament with the giant curtain right there.
This is amazing. This is the best one we've ever had.
Our third bracket here is the Stallings Award controversy region. We had a controversy regarding our Stallings Award that we gave to the worst team in D1 this year. We awarded
not that you won, the worst power conference.
Well, the worst power conference team. I'm sorry, correct. The worst power conference.
Go either way.
We gave it to Vanderbilt. We caught a lot of flack on Twitter over this. There was a major controversy that we should have given it instead to Cal.
Cal, okay. So
Vanderbilt and Cal, and of course, with Vanderbilt and Cal matching up, of course, the loser advances. Oh. Our final region here is the nation's best player region. We are going to finally figure out who the best player in the nation is. Now, a lot of people say it's Zion Williamson. Well, we're going to give him a chance right here. He's going to pass the NCAA tournament. He's going to come here to Pablo Escobar's island, and in order to determine if he is the best player, he's going to go one-on-one against George Mason's strength and conditioning coach,
Andy made it.
That's going to be a tough battle.
You're going to want to get your ticket. Like, is there any information on the screen on how to get tickets for this? Because
we'll work on that. We'll get that up on the website. Okay. Finally, we have one more game here. It's the MEAC bonus game. Those of you that remember years ago in the MEAC, when they had multiple teams transitioning up, they had a bonus game at their tournament between the two transitional teams. Absolute true. On the championship game day in the MEAC, they would have those two teams play a regular season game against each other, gave them a chance to participate in the MEAC tournament, and they called it the MEAC bonus game. We brought it back for the Hoops HD AC8. Now, there are no MEAC teams in this Instead, it's going to be another one-on-one matchup, actually.
Oh, yeah.
Between Samford head coach Scott, are you stepping to me now?
Yes. Yeah.
And, of course, his opponent.
Is it?
Referee Carl Hess.
And that's a I mean, you want to talk about a bonus.
That is the bonus game.
Yeah, so, is Carl Hess refereeing all of these games?
He might be. We'll have him there. So he can buy his own. But on that note, let me pull this down here. We'll run through each of you for any final thoughts, any other thoughts about what we did wrong in our bracket here or anything else. And Joby, let me start with you.
Yeah, no, and you saw the results being chalk, and I think that's a reflection of where the gap is. It's not necessarily, though, between the ones and the twos. I actually think the gaps are between the twos and the threes. I think there's a hard, hard drop-off. There is a reasonable chance to think you're going to see a lot of 1-2 matchups and I think the twos will win some of them. Sparty, as I mentioned, really, I'm sure they're mad they're playing Duke's region, but Sparty in particular knows how to advance. Look for the ones and twos, no 16 and 15 upsets, because there is just a level up right between the eighth and ninth best teams in the country.
All right. Salika.
I think one of the key additions to the selection committee this year is going to be current A-10 commissioner Bernadette McGlade. Let's not forget, I think it was 2 or 3 years ago where St. Bonaventure was actually one of the major snubs and failed to make the field. You can be damn sure that she saw to it that NC State was going to be punished for their non-conference strength of schedule here.
Yes, they absolutely were. Tytel.
So I thought that Belmont was going to be the biggest selection news of the week, but apparently the women's selection special decided to take it up a notch. For the first time in 13 years, UConn is not a number one seed. They're a number two, and they could very well win it all. But think about that. They've been a number one seed for 13 straight years.
He's fire Gino. I mean, we've got to fire Gino.
It's time to start heating up that seat.
David, you want to finish us off for the night?
Yeah. What's interesting about this tournament? We've made this observation. I don't know if we've said it on a show, but I think you and Stalika will concur, and maybe Tytel as well, is that when you look at the under the radar conferences, I'd say all but two or three of them. Well, two in particular, the Summit League and the Missouri Valley, arguably the Big South, but Gardner Webb is good. Got either the best team in or the team that was playing the best at the end. And if you were to pick a team that had a chance of winning a game in the round of 64, it would have been the team that got in. Last year, it seemed like the complete opposite. Like, we had a lot of good teams that we thought could make some noise, and they couldn't get out of their conference tournaments. So that could be the recipe for a lot of really good games and even upsets in the round of 64. And I just find it ironic that when we filled out the bracket, we had chalk, and it could ultimately play out that way with the 1 and 2 seeds or all four number ones getting to the final four. But it could also be the tournament where we see more double digit seeds win than we have in a long time in the round of 64.
Yeah, I mean, we could see mass chaos, but, you know, I think what we might end up seeing is what we do see a lot of years is you do see a lot of mass chaos in the early rounds where we see teams like Northeastern, like we picked, and these 12 seeds, I think we picked three of them to win. But then things normalize as you get to the regionals, and you end up with the ones of the twos in the final four. But on that note, I do want to thank everybody for joining us. On behalf of David Griggs, John Stalika, John Tytel, and Joby Fortson, I'm Chad Sherwood. We'll talk to you again real soon, actually next week after the first round is done.